Oh, and we've got Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, good. Hi, Lisa. Hi, everyone.
Hey,
hi.
Welcome to our Becoming a Coach class.
Thanks.
Glad you're here. We have a vibrant group. We've had some great questions, so great group tonight. But before we jump into Coach the Coach, would you like to say hi and introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, guys. This is Jennifer Powers. I am a coach and speaker, also an author out of Portland, Oregon, and I've had my coaching practice for going on its 10th year. I am also a mentor coach here, obviously, and totally dig teaching aspiring coaches how to build their business and become better at this craft. And you can find more information about me and my coaching and my book at jenniferpowers.com and oshift.com, where you can find out about my book.
Yeah, you got to check out the book, and the whole website is awesome. Excellent. And Jennifer, how long have you been a mentor coach here at CTA? I was like saying maybe 8 years, 7 years?
Yes, eight. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I know. Imagine.
I know, because it's so fun.
It's awesome. It's my favorite, my favorite part of the day, actually, if you can believe that.
That's awesome. Awesome. All right, well, let me tell you a little bit about our coach and client.
Mm-hmm.
Our coach is Amy from Pennsylvania, and our client is Maritza from Florida. And I gave them kind of my version of the Coach the Coach procedures, but what I'll do is let me ask everyone that is not Amy or Maritza to hit *6 and mute. I will do the same, but I'll turn it over to you, Jennifer, to...
Okay, Lisa, the coach is Amy and the client
the coach
is Maritza?
Yes,
okay.
Coach is Amy,
all right.
The client Maritza. All right.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, and welcome, everyone. Thank you, Amy and Maritza, for throwing in your hats in the ring, because I think you can learn best by doing. So, Amy, you're going to have 15 minutes to coach Maritza, and the best advice I can give you to set it up for success is to get real clear on exactly the agenda or the topic that Maritza wants to talk about. And you can do that by asking two questions at the top of the session. One is, what would you like to talk about today? Or, you know, for example, what is your agenda? So that's the first question. And then get real clear, make sure you understand that. And then the second question that is very important is, what would you like to take away from this session? If you don't ask that question, you're going to find yourself just kind of meandering all over with no rhyme or reason or direction. So what would you like to talk about and what would you like to take away are two great questions to start your session with. And then just be open and present and try to ask open-ended questions and don't be afraid to tap into your intuition. Let that emerge. And keep an eye on the clock. Amy, do you have a clock near you?
I do.
Okay, great. So at the 13-minute mark or so, you want to start to wrap it up and so we can close out in 15 minutes. And Amy,
okay.
My style is to just stay out of the way and to give you lots of space. However, if you don't, you know, clarify that topic and that takeaway at the beginning, I will jump in to support you because, like I said, otherwise it'll just go all willy-nilly.
Okay.
Okay, but otherwise I'll be muted out. And then do you have any questions before I move on to Maritza?
I don't.
Okay. And Maritza, as a client, you just get to get free coaching and bring a real live agenda and be coachable, which means, you know, dig deep, be willing to answer the hard questions, and keep it real and honest so that Amy can really tune in to what's going on with you.
Okay.
Questions, Maritza?
No.
Okay. All right. So I have just about 7 past the hour, Amy. So why don't we, whatever 15 minutes shows on your clock, I'm going to mute out. I believe everyone else is too. So take it away when ready.
Hi, Maritza. I'm Amy. How are you this evening?
Hi, Amy. I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. today we're going to talk for about 15 minutes, and I just wanted to know what you were interested in talking about.
My topic for today is twofold. I am shifting careers into a coaching career, and I want to define my niche a little better, and I want to get better at getting paid for my services.
Okay, so you're
to make money.
Okay. So you're shifting careers, and you want to move into coaching, and you would like to find your niche, and you would also like to find a way to get paid. Is that correct?
That is correct. Perfect.
Okay. Also, by the end of our 15 minutes, what would you like the takeaway to be surrounded with this goal in mind?
I'd like to define a niche. I know that might change in time, but I'd like to narrow it down. I feel like I have a very wide net cast right now as to where I think I should focus for a market. Another takeaway besides defining it would be, one of my trepidations or fears, is that I don't always ask for the money or the clothes. I tend to want to help people, but I don't always get paid for my professions.
Okay, so we're going to try to focus on your niche and also to try to find a way to help you make sure that you ask to be paid for your services. Is that correct?
Sounds good.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, you said that you had a wide net of different categories that you're considering to become your niche. Could you tell me which ones you feel the most comfortable with?
The most comfortable because of previous work and life experience are fitness and nutrition-oriented, but also I have balanced career with a long marriage and parenting. My goals are to be a life coach or lifestyle coach, but the natural progression would be for it to be involved somehow with health and wellness, which is what I've been in for years before.
So it sounds like
that's
to me
one
you've already
area.
You've already defined your niche.
Right. Okay. So I should expound that I don't really want to stay fully within that. I feel there's other areas. I'll talk about that a little bit. I am 53 years old and have two adult children. And because of my lifelong interest in wellness, I am fit and healthy and energetic for a woman of a certain age.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I, being 50 plus, I remember being at a yoga certification a long time ago, and on my final, conference meeting with one of the trainers, he said, you know, you already have a market in hand, but I felt like a 50 plus market of women, number one, is too small a niche. And number two, I also feel that I'm in the midst of that right now where there are many other life experiences I already have. So besides the health and wellness, I have a successful relationship in my long marriage, and I have adult kids, and I balanced career, you know, with home life. So I always think about balance and talk about balance a lot when I speak privately and publicly. So that's another area that I had thought about. And then another interesting area is I'm always very involved with people and myself during life transitions. My husband's career has caused me to relocate over 16 times in my adult life. And I can establish family, school, career in many different places. When I was starting to think about my business, I had all these separate ideas of life transitions, of relationship coaching, of health and wellness, so all these different things. And today when I heard when I heard Lisa speak on finding a niche, I thought, I really have to narrow this down.
That is really very exciting. You have so much to offer.
Oh, thank you.
So that's very exciting, because at least you're not in a position where you're like, I want to help people, but I don't know what to do. So you have many different things to pull from. Now, at this point, which one do you seem to gravitate to more?
Of course, the one I have the most experience in, which was, you know, I started as a ballet and contemporary dancer professionally, and then I became a yoga and fitness instructor at gyms, and then a personal trainer and like a fitness director. And I don't want to work physically as hard as I have the first 35 years of my life, so I don't want it all to be on training and health and wellness, but that's what I have the most experience in. So my 50-plus interest is very much in the present, and I don't feel as equipped, does that make sense, as experienced?
Yes.
Because I'm in the midst of it.
Yes.
To do just a 50-plus clientele. And I also like working with a diverse population in age and gender, and, you know, so it's hard for me to narrow it down to just that, even though I know that that's a strong niche intellectually. I don't feel like I have a lot of experience because I'm still in the middle of.
Right. I gotcha.
You're not yet in the 50s.
And why do you feel that you'd like to work with the 50-plus group
well,
of people?
Well, I feel like it's a very there's a big need in that market, because there's a lot of Western medicine influence in how women deal with perimenopause and menopause. I also have had some painful personal experience where I know that it's a very difficult time of life for a lot of women. I've been empty nesting now for a total of about, I think, close to 8 to 10 years. And that's a really difficult transition when your children fly the nest. So I think that there are experiences that I have and, you know, things that I'm going through physically, nutritionally, you know, modifying activity, changing nutrition to support hormonal changes and all that. But I also feel like I still have a lot to learn in those areas. So, and the other reason is 50 plus is because it brings me to my second issue of the day, which is money. Because I started life as a performing artist, you know,
yeah.
I don't always ask for money. I was used to the starving artist goal, and I feel like people 50 plus maybe are in a little better financial position for a life coach than a 20-something.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
So that's what makes me lean towards the 50s.
Well, all the little attributes that you have shared with me about the 50-plus, even though I know you don't feel that you're completely ready or have all the tools to help somebody with 50-plus, it to me sounds like you already have a lot to offer. So when it comes to discussing the 50-plus niche, what are your fears around going into that area?
One of them is closing myself off from part of the population from a marketing standpoint, and also from the fact that I like to be around people of all ages. Maybe that's one of my trepidations, one of the things that makes me take pause about that.
Okay. So why do you think it would close you off from a bunch of different kinds of people?
Because if I'm focusing on that niche, I'm going to have, let's say, a handful of clients that are all going to be female and 50 and older. And
what else?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's the answer, I think, to that question, is that I feel like I'll be limiting myself to that population.
Okay. In the realm of, let's just take an example of 50 to 55, and you said
mm-hmm.
women. What kind of clients do you think that would bring to you, and what different aspects may come to you in that age arena?
I think that weight loss is an issue, or maintaining weight, because of a lot of people find that through hormonal changes, they begin to gain weight they didn't used to gain when they were younger. Re-entering career or a career shift because of empty nesting, or for those who haven't had children, just because of changes, you know, physically or in interests or goals, or maybe even looking at the second half of life. So career shifts, career changes, I think
okay.
I would get. I think I would get, those are the two that come to mind right off the bat, are health and wellness people and career shifts.
Okay. Within health and wellness and career shifts, what are other aspects to that area that you could help them with?
Other aspects, like within those categories?
Yes.
Kind of a next step thing, finding out what, you know, what clients, what they aspire to at this stage of their life, how
okay.
they want to feel, what do they most want to do, that
okay.
kind of thing. I just had a light bulb moment.
I love that.
By something you asked me, I was just like, wait a minute. So for some reason I visualized it when you said 50 to 55. I suppose I could have a diverse menu and have that be like a section of the services I offer and not the only services I offer. Does that make sense?
Completely. And since I don't have a lot of experience in this area, since you and I are just starting this class, that
mm-hmm.
sounds wonderful to me, but I'm not really sure we'd have to ask the expert. but, yeah, that's exciting because you were showing that in 50-plus you could also talk about health and wellness. So that takes care of two of your interests.
Right.
So, that's
I know our
exciting.
Time is limited. I have a question for you.
We have 3 more minutes, so go right ahead.
So let's talk just for a minute about what your views are on asking for the money. Like asking to be paid and why I hesitate when people approach me for help or a workout or, you know, I'm a pro, and when I worked for someone or worked in a gym or a studio, of course I got paid. But when I work as an entrepreneur or individual, I have trouble with that.
Okay, tell me what kind of trouble you have with that. Like, give me some specifics.
A way to give you a quick one is an example that I have. Someone starting with me December 19th. She's the adult daughter of friends of mine, and she wants to learn the basics of yoga and doesn't know them at all. And she wants to, you know, talk about weight loss and the fact that she's gained 35 pounds this year. And, of course, I offered to help her, but I know she's a single mom, and I know her parents well. And, of course, I said I would do it as, you know, part of my coach training experience and that she wouldn't have to pay me.
Okay, so that's
how
you, set up that situation. How do
right.
you see that you could change that in the future?
I suppose I could, when we met, assuming that everything went splendidly, I could say I'll do this many sessions, you know, like 3 sessions as your intro, and then let's talk about, you know, when you continue and what my fees are.
I think that's a great start. So when you would do that, how do you think that would play out?
Well, I like to be usually pretty optimistic, so I think that she'll, like, love her time with me and start to see herself embracing some changes that she wants. And then she'll be happy to say, I'd like to keep seeing you. And, you know, maybe I can't afford $150 an hour, but I, you know, this is what I can do. Maybe that would be ideal.
And I think that's a great way to put things out there, because when you set those expectations for yourself and for your client, and that you both agree, then you're going to both be happy. What do you see offering her for this, let's just say the $150 an hour?
That would be combining her health and wellness, meaning her yoga sessions, which are usually about 55 minutes, an hour, let's say, and then if she wanted to continue with some life coaching. She's newly divorced and trying to balance her career as a special ed teacher and parenting a 9-year-old. And I don't know what her topics would be, but the $150 an hour would be for coaching, is what I was thinking.
Okay. And what kind of things do you think that you could help her get through?
I'm sorry, the question again?
what kind of things do you think you can help her, you know, process through?
I find it hard to answer that today just because I haven't spoken to her that way yet. I think her main thing right now is that she's unhappy with her physical self and she's finding the dating game difficult. Those are the things I know thus far, but I'm not sure what her, you know, topics of interest or her, I'm not even sure if she's interested in life coaching yet, but I have a feeling from my conversation with her that she would be a good candidate.
Well, it sounds like for our 15 minutes, you had a goal of trying to narrow down your niche, and it looks like you've come around to that you could have a slight menu of things that you could offer. Maybe start with the 50 plus and then the health and wellness and add into those. And then it sounds like you would also like to have a set plan before you go into a client and have a fee schedule and present that and have you and the client agree upon that and then move forward. Do you feel that that's what has happened within this 15 minutes?
I do. I feel better than when we started, Amy. So that's good.
Yay!
I do. I wrote down both, what is the word I'm looking for? Both of the things you just answered or described or talked back to me about what we discussed. So that sounds good.
Because we're up with our 15 minutes, and I guess Jennifer will come back in and help us.
Great.
Establish
thank
what
you.
We've done well and what we haven't.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. Great.
Thank you, Marissa.
Oh, great. Thank you both so much. Let me start with Marissa. What about Amy's coaching worked really well for you today?
One of the things about Amy's coaching, I have to think about the proper adjectives to use, is that she made me feel supported. There was something about her way that made me feel like she was authentic and supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good. Good. And what did you need more of or less of in this session? In other words, what would have made it even better, Maritza?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good that I'm having trouble thinking of that, right? Amy did a really good, great job, in my opinion. I'm trying to think of what would have made it better. One thing that comes to mind after digging a little deeper is if maybe she asked me the why of things. I think she did that. I think she did that more with the topic of my niche for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
In my business, but we were a little short on time because I'm chatty, so I'm very loquacious, so I take time saying things, but maybe with the money issue, like, to delve into the why, maybe of both, she had asked why I didn't feel equipped for 50 plus, I think why questions were helpful, so maybe it would have been helpful to say, well, why are you not asking?
Thank you.
Money?
Well, that would have been good.
Great. Thank you. Anything else,
mm-hmm.
Maritza?
About the session?
Yeah.
No, I think that it was quite helpful.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Amy, what did you notice about this session? What are you most proud of?
When she said that she got a light bulb moment. That
yeah.
was just so fulfilling, and it's so great.
Good. Good, good. What else?
At times I felt that it was flowing smoothly, which I'm very proud of, but then other times I was having a difficult time thinking of the right questions,
mm-hmm.
and I did have a hard time batting my own judgment, because I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
you know, jump in and say, well, try this, try that, try this, try that.
Right.
And I know
right.
that you're not supposed to do that, so I had to keep stopping myself.
Good. I'm glad you did. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I thought this was for your first time. Have you ever coached before?
No, I have not.
Well, it doesn't, I mean, it always surprises me when someone comes on the call and, like, just jumps in such a way that is quite skillful. And I have to say, you have a lot of great, you model a lot of great coaching qualities. So this was a great session. Thank you for keeping the time on track and wrapping it up. You started the session really well with that suggested opening of the agenda and the takeaway. You can see how that really sets you up for success, right?
Completely.
Yeah, and like without that, it would be like just having a conversation with a friend, which, you know, Maritza can have lots of. But when we have a real strong coaching conversation, our coach wants to know at the beginning what we're talking about and also where we want to go or what we need to walk away with. So great job there. And then your questions were, like, wildly open-ended, very impressed. I was very impressed with your ability to make sure you were asking open-ended questions, but also that you, like you said, you were resisting giving suggestions even when Maritza asked you. You totally, totally dodged that, which I thought was fantastic. When you remember when she said, if you could give me your opinion, or I wanted to ask you a question about charging, you were just like, okay, so why don't you tell me, which is exactly the right decision. Because as coaches, we don't tell our clients what we think or even what we feel about what they're thinking. We always ask, and so you did a really nice job with that, Amy.
Oh, thank you. That was hard, but...
Yeah, I bet. Because there was like a ton of things, at least a half a dozen things you could have told her to make her think that she was valuable or to empower her to think in a different way, right?
Well, that's what I was trying to get out of her, is that what she would offer the client, that she would feel that she had the right and the value to charge for her services.
Okay, so then maybe that's how we could elevate that question. Because that one I was a little bit wondering about, but now it makes sense. So, like, what are some of the things you'd help the client work through was your question? Maybe it's value will you bring to the client? Yeah, what value
better.
Do you envision
yeah.
bringing? Okay,
yeah.
It was interesting that Maritza said why questions were helpful, and I think they definitely are. And in coaching, you'll learn that we can ask questions about why or the reasons behind something, but we like to use a different we like to ask them in a different way. So instead of like, why do you want to work with the 50 plus? It's what do you like about the idea of working with 50 plus? Or what are some of the reasons that working with 50 plus resonates with you? For some reason, why puts people on the defensive? You may have heard that before. And so if we can ask the same question but avoid using why, then we're more likely to allow that sort of safe space for our client and not make them feel like they have to defend what we're asking them about. So why do you think it will close it off? What makes you think it will close it off? You know, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Uh-huh. And then your listening skills were stellar. I could tell you were listening to Maritza at every moment and just tracking, like really good tracking of her thoughts, and you were doing what you guys will learn in class, which is called peeling the onion. For the most part, there may be one or two exceptions in this session, but that means just asking each question based on the client's last answer. So it's not firing a bunch of questions at them, you know, just sort of randomly because you have a bunch you need answered. It's listening to the client and then asking your question from that response.
Gotcha.
So nice job. And then,
thank you.
And then one final thing I was saying earlier, you know, our clients don't really need to know what we think, but we want them to bring up their own thoughts and feelings. And so I would also caution you to be thoughtful about using the word, I think that's a great way, or I think that's a great idea, or I love
oh,
that
okay.
idea, whatever. Yeah, because it's just, It's laden a little bit laden with judgment, and
okay.
we don't think one way or another. We ask the client, well, what do you think about that idea,
okay.
or how do you feel? Yeah, good.
Instead of doing that, how do you? I was
yeah.
trying to give her support. So how could I give her support without
okay.
giving her my thoughts or my judgment?
So what do you mean by support? Tell me what you have in mind.
I was trying to let her know that what she was saying to me was valuable, that I
oh.
thought she was doing a good job, that
yeah. So it's something like maybe like, I really honor you, Maritza, for showing up this way and for really digging deep or
okay.
Yeah. Like I'm just observing a real commitment to,
okay.
you know, if it's true, right? You want to highlight it in a way that isn't judgment, but just maybe mirroring, you know?
Okay. Gotcha. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Sometimes I say to clients like, man, you worked hard today. You know, like you were willing to open some doors and really, you know, peek inside those dark spots, you know, like whatever. Like, but I'm just acknowledging them for what I saw, not necessarily what I think.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of coaches
okay.
are different. They might, some other coach might say, no, of course you can tell your client what you think. That's just my best practice, but you get to decide. Because what
okay.
happens is then the client is like, so what do you think? If they get used to hearing what we think, then they're going to begin to wonder what we think, and then they'll begin to ask what we think. And that's not our role. That's too much heavy lifting.
Right.
We don't want that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. So I want to open it up to the observers on the call. What observations or questions do you guys have as you were listening in on this session? And please say your name.
Oh, it's Barbara.
Yeah. Okay, Barbara.
Yeah, I felt that Amy did a great job at reflecting back to, I think, Jennifer. I'm sorry, what was the client's
Maritza.
Name?
Maritza.
Yeah, like Maritza. To Maritza, what she had heard, and I felt that was really important to make those clarifying statements. And
yeah.
it sounded like Maritza felt really heard.
Yeah.
And it kept the line of communication clean
mm-hmm.
between them. So I felt that was a really wonderful way of just communicating with a client.
Nice. Thank you. Thanks, Barbara. Good observation. Who else?
Okay, this is Ricia from Texas.
Yeah, Ricia.
Yeah, well, I think it went very well. It went very well. I think the only thing that was missing is that they were not face-to-face. You know, if I wasn't listening on the line, I would not have known that there can be communication and the vibe. And, you know, it's as though they had, as though this was not the first meeting. And I think there was something there where they were able to connect. There was no judgment that I felt. It was very open, and there was a trust,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I really enjoyed it.
Great.
I didn't think it was going to go this well, though, because, you know, we're now getting into this. It looked as though this
was yeah.
going for a while. So, yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, I promise you, Amy is not a plant. She's the real deal. Randomly selected. That's
yeah,
awesome.
You guys have no idea how much this makes me happy, because I know this is what I want to do, but I need the encouragement to know that this is where I'm supposed to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. That's the benefit of stepping up.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Amy, are you from Brooklyn? No. Where are you from?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania. You sound just like one of my clients from, where is she from? Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn. I love your accent. Okay. Let's see. Other observers. other comments from observers.
Yeah, this is Haya.
Yeah, Haya.
Hi. I was just wondering, like, how, I can't remember who it was, but whoever was the coach, like,
Amy?
How you thought of, Amy, how you thought of the next question to ask. I know you mentioned it's based on previous comments from the client,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I wouldn't know, like, what to ask them next, where to take, the session.
Mm-hmm.
It,
good.
It wasn't easy. My brain was running quickly as she was talking, and I had to banter back and forth and stop myself from giving her advice, and I knew it had to be an open-ended question, so I just did the best to try to ask something that would make her dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew, you know, what, how, where, when, you know, all those different words that start a question, I knew to try to use one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't easy. It was hard. I mean, the 15 minutes, I'm tired.
We've taxed your brain.
Well, Amy, I'm glad you said that. This is Maritza, and I just went and got a glass of water. I'm exhausted.
Water or wine?
Water right now, because we're still on the call.
Oh, right.
You feel like I won't be so hesitant to ask for payment, because it's really hard work, Jennifer.
Yeah,
oh,
right?
Yay. I'm open.
See? So, Haya, that's a good question. And so a couple of the things that I can shed light on are when you get real clear on the agenda and the takeaway, it makes it easier to guide the client where he or she wants to go. So that's why it's so important to know.
Okay,
can you star six if you're talking? There's a man talking to you. Star six for mute. So that's why it's important to know the takeaway so you can coach them toward the direction they want to go. The other thing is it's kind of like the coaching conversation is kind of like solving a puzzle. It's like you are sleuthing. You know what I mean? It's like even better said, it's like unfolding a piece of paper, and each unfold has a new clue or more information on it. And then from that information, you're like, okay, huh, now that we know that, here's what we can unfold or, you know, unpeel, whatever, back from there. So if you look at it like an unfolding, I feel like it becomes easier than if you just look at it as a linear path. I don't know, Haya, does that make sense?
Kind of.
Yeah, and again, you learn so much in class when you actually do it, so observing is a great role, but doing it is so powerful because you can start to see, you know, like, okay, so that is challenging for me, what can I do, and then you get feedback, and then the next time you try something else, and you improve, really, in each process. So that's a good segue into this next part I want to talk to you guys about, and that is in the 22 weeks of this program, Lisa probably told you, 10 of those weeks you are doing this, coach the coach. You're either being coached, you're being a client, or you're being an observer, and you start to learn at a real deeper level in the practicality of it. So As the coach in these coach the coach sessions, this sounds like an obvious question or answer, but how do you envision being the coach in these sessions helping you become more masterful?
Practice.
Yeah.
Doing it and, you know, being willing to mess up to learn from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So practicing on the spot, getting on the spot feedback from both your client, an observer in the class, and me. Yeah, all of that is super valuable. Good.
And
yeah.
Being vulnerable also. Just get out there and do it.
Being vulnerable. Yeah, there is a bit of vulnerability, isn't there, when you're you know, asked to lay it all out there in front of everyone on the call. Good, good, good. And then, Maritza, as the client, how do you see that being supportive of you improving your coaching skills, playing the client role?
It'll make me more empathic to the client. Like, I'll have experienced how they feel, like before when I joked and said I was so tired. It also made me realize, on my observations of Amy's coaching, by playing the role of the client, it made me realize, like, what works as a coach, like what she did that helped me to open up more or clarify my thinking more, what kinds of questions work.
Good. Yeah, being on the receiving end is so, so helpful because you get to see what and experience what your clients would experience, and therefore you get to see what works, what doesn't work, what kind of listening works, what kind of questions work best, how to allow space for, you know, the client to really think about the answer, how not to give suggestions. I mean, you're experiencing it firsthand, and so knowledge comes, but also, like you're saying, empathy. So that's really great. Good. And then the observers, you also have a role. Each coach, the coach session has one designated observer, but of course everyone observes. How do you envision being an observer on the call for you other folks, supporting you in building your coaching skills?
This is Bernice from Atlanta. I really thought that Amy did a terrific job asking questions and knowing what words to use to keep those questions open-ended. That was amazing for somebody who had no training. Because it's so easy for us to ask why. And that wouldn't have been the right word to use.
Okay, so as the observer, I'm just going to sort of extrapolate. As the observer, you're able to have sort of like this safe place with this no pressure kind of environment for you to observe great skills that the coach is modeling and also areas where improvement could happen. Maybe think about what questions you would be asking or not asking and how to pose them. So the observer role is like a luxury because you have no pressure, there's no performance, right, that you need to worry about. It's just really being that third-party observer in an active way so that you can learn what works and what doesn't. Anyone else want to add to that? That observer?
This is Barbara.
Yeah,
I think that listening in helped me just kind of get out of the self, and I think that's so important. I know when I entered the call, I was kind of in myself. I was in traffic and trying to get home, and and just really kind of self-involved, and getting quiet and really hearing Amy ask questions and be very present for Maritza really helped me just kind of get out of myself and, I don't know, just reframed my perspective. And and it just, I think that's so helpful in developing, you know, the question ability, the ability to ask questions.
Right. Yeah. So you're able to tune in, but without the pressure. I like that. Yeah. Good. Good. And to come out of self, I'm hearing. I like the way you said that. Makes a lot of sense to me. Good.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I think both ladies did a great job, both the coach and the client. I think she was a great client as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when you get those clients that are all over the place? You know, you said that you should listen to what they're saying and try to determine what your next question is going to be.
Yeah.
What if you want to bring them back to questions because they've they've moved on.
So what do you mean moved on?
So you're trying to understand what they're saying and where they're going.
Yeah.
But they just keep talking.
Oh,
How do you handle those?
Yeah. So that's going to happen because your clients are pretty much like chomping at the bit to talk to you all day, and they just sometimes they just unload and they might like take random tangents that, you know, don't have anything to do with the question. And there's a tipping point, right? So like you want to allow space for them to be heard and to vent because you're creating this really safe environment for them to be heard. But there's also a point where you have to discern whether or not their venting has gone on too long. So one of the best practices I use is I'll say, let's say Barbara's talking, and I'll go, Barbara, thank you so much. You know, so the person's name is really powerful because they hear that like more loudly than they hear anything. And then I'll say, thank you so much for sharing that. I hear what you're saying. Let me repeat the question. Or if it doesn't have anything to do with it, I'll say something like, how does this you're talking about here, relate to the agenda, which is blah, 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 or the takeaway where you want to go? So I'll ask them to bridge them and connect them so that they can find relationship. And if she, you know, she says, well, it doesn't. Okay, well, that's fine. Let's get back on track then and blah, blah, blah. Or she might go, well, that's an interesting question. I didn't know it related until just this moment, and here's how, right? So you have to be a little bit bold, but also using common sense and good emotional intelligence to know when, and of course know your client over time, know them and what they need and how they like to be helped in that situation. I have one client who, she's like, I'm a rambler and I need you, Jennifer, I need you to step in when I start to ramble without direction. So she's giving me permission. I just say to her, you're rambling, and we have fun, you know. So, yeah, hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
So all this stuff is what you're going to learn in class, and the way you learn it most isn't only through my instruction and teaching, but mostly through these scenarios where so many different things pop up and instances we couldn't even make up, right, in a coaching session, and then we talk about them and we critique them and we rewind the tape and say, what could we have asked differently or how could we have handled that better? Or yeah. So you will learn definitely so much in the hands-on. That's what I love about the CTA coursework. So what I want to do now is I want to thank Amy and Maritza for being such great volunteers, and congratulate them both on a job well done. And thank you, everyone on the call who is here listening as observers and your feedback. I'm going to pass it over to Lisa so she can follow up with any other questions you have.
Thanks, Jennifer. Awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, Jen. It was great. Thank you, Amy and Maritza. You guys were awesome. I told you, you'd learn so much. Like, so that was one coach-the-coach session. You're going to do these for 10 weeks in the Certified Coach Program, and we'll do, like, three a week, right, Jen? It's three, almost three every time. In some classes,
yeah, depending on the size.
Yeah,
depending on the size of the class.
So, yeah, lots and lots of coaching, lots of feedback, lots of observation. And the cool part about being the client in the coach-the-coach session is we get to experience coaching firsthand and learn how to be a great client. And I think the best coaches know how to be great clients too. So all right, let's open up. We've got some time for questions. Any questions about the training? Any special questions for Jennifer? Any questions about Jen's class starting Wednesday at 7 p.m.? Who wants to start?
I have a very quick question for you, Barbara. The Wednesday class, is that a one-hour class or a two-hour class?
60 to 90 minutes per week.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So it goes to about 8:30-ish. Okay.
Exactly. That was a quick question. What else?
Question I had. I've actually signed up, so I will be honest. I already signed up. So
I saw that. So, Jennifer, there's your student. You get to meet her here.
Yep.
Great. And who was that?
Barbara from Tampa, Florida.
Oh, Barbara, great, 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 awesome.
Yeah, so actually Jennifer's class is filling. I think two spots left, if I'm not mistaken. So if you want to start in December and you want to get this super sweet $26.49 deal, jump in. And the other class that's starting this week, for those of you that want to take advantage of this special, begins on Thursday, December 10th, so this coming Thursday, actually. And it's a morning class, 10 a.m. Eastern time, and that is with mentor coach Lori Cameron. So you can read about Lori on the faculty page as well. So what else? What other questions?
This is Brenda from Ohio, and I wanted to know the classes. Are they all just by phone, or is it a webinar, or...?
Nope, all by phone. So it's like a conference call, just like we're doing tonight. This is a perfect, demonstration because we'll be live, interactive, by phone, smaller group than we have. We have close to 20 tonight, but in the Certified Coach Program, we limit to 10 to 12 students per class.
Okay, so for the class that is starting on Wednesday, I believe with you, Jennifer?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, what about the materials?
Yeah, no worries about them. The materials will be sent out to you as you enroll, and you can pick your shipping, whether you want it to go like overnight or 3 day. I usually tell people don't spend a lot of money, because as soon as you enroll, you're going to get an email which is going to give you information to log into our virtual classroom, and the digital version is built into the virtual classroom. So you have
it. Oh, okay.
So
there is a portal that we'll log into. Okay.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So in the virtual classroom, are we allowed to interact with the students? Like, is it like a forum? We can post questions?
Yeah, exactly. So you can post questions to each other. It's not like a... like a Facebook live chat where it pops up and you're like, hey, Betty, what are you doing? Hey, I'm doing this. It's not that. It's like more of a forum, so you can post a question. Kind of the nice thing about that is, like, say you're in class and you've just, done a sample session and with someone and you want to talk to one of your classmates, you could post something there. Or you could even say, like, hey, does anyone want to do some practice coaching with me? Let's get a few of us together and do some practicing. Say you've just designed your website and you want to post it in the virtual classroom and ask your classmates, like, hey, give me some feedback on this. You know, let me know what you think. So it's a great place to connect with folks in your class. And you'll certainly have everyone's contact information, too. So if you wanted to connect with people live, you'll have that information. And you'll also receive be matched up with a buddy for class. So you and your kind of study buddy will connect with each other weekly by phone and coach each other and share your goals and hold each other accountable. So lots of ways. Yeah, lots of ways to interact.
Okay. I'm ready.
So any other last questions? Yeah, go ahead. Who is this?
This is Barbara from Tampa.
Barbara.
First, there's 10 sessions that are coach to coach, and then the other sessions are, I'm assuming, the curriculum that is set out. Is that correct?
Yep, and they're group mentoring classes.
Gotcha. And then, so do we start out with that? When does the coach to coach start in the 22-week process?
Three, Jennifer?
Yeah, week three, I coach someone, and you get to experience that. In week five, we start coach the coach. Wait, week three? Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I don't even know. That's so week two.
Sorry.
Week two, I coach someone. Week three, two of you will coach others. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Okay. No, it's actually week five, Lise. It's five.
Okay. Week five.
We started week five.
It's been 12 years since I've actually been in class.
I know, and we recently, we changed it a couple years ago, and honest to goodness, sometimes I have to stop and think. But it's week five.
It's week five.
Okay.
But it happens. It really does.
So the other weeks, we read the material at home, whatever we have for the week, and then we just go over the material kind of in a like we would in a classroom the following week. Is that how that's going to work?
Go ahead, Jen. You can take that one.
Oh, yeah, so you come to class reading having read the material that's on the syllabus for that week, so that when we meet in class, we're discussing that which you've read, plus more, because I'm teaching, like, from that topic, but, you know, adding more.
Okay,
and, of course, answering questions, yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
What other questions? We have another couple minutes. Wow, we did a great job. No questions. Get out of here. It was a great becoming a coach class, really. I mean, the coach-to-coach session was great. The feedback was awesome. It's a great, very connective group asking good questions. So let me kind of do a quick wrap-up here, and I can stay for more question and answer if anyone has any. But we've done a lot in just a couple hours here in our Becoming a Coach teleclass. We set the intention earlier, and we heard some questions and answers about that. We did the co-creative relationship exercise, and we talked about what we do as coaches and what we don't do and what our clients do in their roles. And then with the help of Amy and Maritza for being our brave volunteers, we had a Coach the Coach session. And thank you, Jennifer. Your feedback is always awesome. And I'm glad everyone had a chance to just experience what it's like to be in class. I mean, this is what we do in 10 of the 22 weeks. We believe that it's important to learn about coaching and talk about coaching, but what really helps you to grow very quickly as a coach, not only in your competence, but in your confidence, is by doing it, like rolling up your sleeves, let's do it. And we do the same with business and marketing. You're not learning it just in theory. You're actually starting your business. You're putting this all together, and you're getting out there. So it's really exciting and certainly models a coaching relationship with goals and next steps. And also stretches us, but really helps us to stay accountable to those next steps. So I want to leave you with a couple of things, an invitation to enroll in one of the two upcoming classes. These two classes have the tuition of $26.47, so feel free to jump in and grab the great deal. It's $500 off. I will be posting January classes in the next couple days, so if you'd rather wait till January, feel free to wait. But these classes have the best deal. the other thing is an invitation to stay and certainly join us for more question and answer. If you've got questions, I'd love to stay and answer those for you. If you have any questions that maybe didn't get answered, you think of later and you want to give me a call or shoot me an email, I'm happy to chat with you and reply to your email. My direct phone line is 303-991-0388. And email is lisa@coachtrainingalliance.com. So I'm going to leave you with a kind of a something to mull over, of course, a coaching question, right? And that question is, what is your next immediate step to become a coach? So what is your next immediate step to become a coach? So think on that. Call me if you'd like to tell me, because I'd love to hear it. If it's to jump in one of the classes, Jennifer's got two spots left. I believe the class starting Thursday at 10 a.m. has four spots left, I think. So don't miss out on those if you're ready to get going now. If you want to stay for more Q&A, I will be here. And for those of you that can't, thank you for joining me, and feel free to call me with any questions. And have a great night, everyone. Thank you.
Hey, Lisa, I have a reminder question. What time is the class on the 9th of December?
Seven p.m. Eastern. So now, this is 7 p.m. Eastern right now.
Right. So that would be for every Wednesday. So I'm just looking at the holiday schedule.
Oh, yeah, and I believe Jennifer is taking – if Jen, are you still here? She might have already gone. I think she did.
Okay.
I believe she is taking, I mean, it's Wednesday, so Christmas and New Year, I believe she's taking off. So
right.
That won't be an issue, but I can't say what the rest of her schedule looks like. I don't really have it right in front of you, and my computer is moving as slow as molasses. So,
no, that's okay. And New Year's Eve and Christmas are not on Wednesdays this year. I'm looking at the calendar now. Because
yeah,
my question then becomes, if we register tonight, do we still get the discount, or are they only for those two classes in December?
I'm pretty sure they're only going to be for the two classes in December. We are working on a year-end special. I don't know that it'll financially be as deep a discount as this. It'll certainly have presents and prizes and free downloads and things like that, but don't think that it's going to be as good a discount financially.
Okay.
But that's
a good
probably,
bargain, but I have family that starts to arrive tomorrow, and they're going to be annoyed with me if I am working while they're
But if you're in this class, you will be on our mailing list, so keep an eye out for the December special. For the, And call me.
Okay.
Yeah, call me.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
And if anyone wants the January schedule, shoot me an email and I'll email it back to you. So you might want to plan and navigate through that.
I'll do
on
that.
Your calendar. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
What other questions?
So just to clarify, this is Barbara. The last lady asked or stated that on the calendar, Christmas Eve is on the 24th, which is a Thursday, and New Year's Eve is on a Thursday as well. So would Jennifer take the 23rd and the 30th off, or are
they
not going to be held?
No, I believe all of our mentor coaches are taking the week of Christmas and New Year off because they don't want to work, and I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to work either. I like to take a couple to some weeks off, too. So, yeah, I believe everyone is taking the week of Christmas and New Year off. And as soon as you get your invitation and jump in the virtual classroom, I believe it may have all been updated by now to reflect any days off Jennifer has.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, you know what? I do have one more question.
Oh,
hypothetically, out of the 22 weeks of training, what would happen if we needed to miss a week? I'm usually very good about keeping my commitments, but just in case, you know, an emergency arose or something like that, or out of town, what is the requirements with that?
Yeah, you will you will be getting at the very beginning of the course, you're asked, like, if you have any known absences, because sometimes people are traveling or they're going to be out of the country and they don't have internet service or whatever. So let your mentor coach know those dates. But if something kind of pops up, which is, you know, bound to happen in 22 weeks, you're going to let your mentor coach know as soon as you can. Also let your buddy know you won't be in class and ask your buddy to take notes. And then maybe hook up with the buddy afterwards and kind of debrief on what happens in class. You'll know what was discussed and you'll know what happened in class because you'll have the syllabus.
Okay,
so you,
great.
You can do a catch-up.
So the sessions aren't recorded?
You know, some of our mentor coaches do record. I think a couple of them do. We leave it up to the mentor coaches to decide that because there's live coaching, so everybody has different ideas on that. I can't remember if Jennifer records or not.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll check in with her when I sign up on
You can shoot her an email.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good question. I should know the answer to that. So now I'm going to get that. Any other last minute questions? All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining. You guys have been a great group. It's been a lot of fun. Call me if you have questions. If anything pops up, I'm here. Or shoot me an email if that's easier, whatever works for you. And take care, and thanks for joining us, and have a great night.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. All right.
You're welcome. Bye. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.